Okay, guys, so what is on my heart, Jan-Cor, I had to think, how long do we know each other? And yesterday was actually my birthday, but not in the natural, but in the spiritual. So actually the 24th of October, I was exactly 7 years old spiritually. So 7 years and 2 or 3 days ago, I was still a lost boy out there in the world, grew up in Stellenbosch, and praise God that I can be here today. And this is what I'm going to share about today. This is what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm not going to share with deep, heavy doctrine or bring you big revelations or something. What's on my heart is really I want to share a bit about my testimony and a few things around that. So, you know, I remember I was, in my own eyes, you know, 7 years and 2 or 3 days ago, I certainly didn't think I was lost. You know, I was a good boy. I didn't drink too much too often, being on a varsity town like Stellenbosch. And, I did all the right things. I went to church. I passed my subjects. I tucked in my shirt. Seriously, you should have, not, but like with a court brook and stuff. So I was a very conservative guy, and in a sense, it preserved me a bit. But obviously, I had a lot of problems or sins and things in my life as well. But, you know, I didn't know I was lost. And I'm going to share a bit later on that, till I really, God opened my eyes and I could see, but just I really need a Savior. And just after I become saved, born again, as Scripture speaks in John 3, verse 3, I sought to see, but listen, I really need God. I really need Jesus in my life. I can't do things on my own, or can't, you know, I shouldn't keep on doing things on my own steam or something, you know. And today, as a pastor, 7 years later, I can just say to you guys, I can do nothing on my own. I don't want to do anything without Jesus. And as I'm standing here this morning, you know, I just, as we praise and worship, I just ask God that, you know, that where my weakness starts, that His strength will come in. And that's the wonderful thing. And that's the things I'm going to encourage you on this morning, you know. Past Friday morning, one of the ladies in our intercession just saw this picture of this old, I think, being in this region, let's think of something like that, Duvisep Castle, you all know that. And, you know, those rocks aren't like, that is built off of the bricks or stones, whatever you call it. It's not everything square and precisely measured. And she saw this picture of this old house, house with the all the bricks, but it wasn't perfect and square and everything. And she just felt that God was saying to us, you know, God is not going to start using us the day that we have done all the foundations 2 times or been saved this long or that long or stuff. God is going to use us. He wants to start using us from the word go. And that's such an awesome thing, you know. And I want to encourage you this morning. I remember when I got born again, I had a lot of zeal in my heart. I just wanted to follow Jesus. And, you know, I woke up in the mornings and I was a bit clueless about a few things. But I know my life has changed. And it wasn't the same. Hello, Carla. It's awesome to have you here. That's one of my sheep. So she's in Windhoek, actually. But it's good to have you here, Carla, to see a familiar face. And, you know, I'm going to share a bit on this morning. And I remember the story started, I grew up till I was about 22 years ago. No, till I was about 22, so you can make the sums now how old I'm supposed to be. I've got a good ratio of kids versus years married. It's about one for every year. So we're making, I know Jan-Cor also wants a big family, so we give him a go there. But basically what happened in my life was I went to church. I was a very religious person. And I was very committed to my quiet time in the mornings. Every time I couldn't, you know, start my day before reading this dagstukkies that we called in Afrikaans. And there was one of the guys in my class who studied with me, and we can call him maybe a rough diamond, you know. And Kobus was a bit of a, he came from Sutherland in the Northern Cape, one of the coldest places in South Africa. And I remember Kobus, you know, we knew that he was into most of the wrong things. And at a stage in our third year, I think, Kobus just started changing. And I saw, like, this is not the same guy anymore. And he's everything in his life just spoke to us. He stopped swearing, drinking, and, you know, et cetera, and et cetera. And at the time, Kobus started sharing with me what was happening in his life. And, you know, I thought, but, you know, I also know God, and I also go to church, and I'm glad for you. You know, that's what we usually think. And as things progressed, I think about 6 months later, you know, Kobus really started ministering to me, and I started to see, but hang on, he's got something I don't have. There's something different here. And what happened is there's a thing called On Stellenbosch, I think they've banned it, which is a very good thing, but they called it the henna and hanedanier. Now that was at the end of the year usually, and it was just one mess. It was a lot of alcohol abuse and stuff. But what happened that morning, you know, Kobus came to me and he said, we should talk. And he said, what time do you have available? And I said, okay, this afternoon. And then we went to class and everything. And then, you know, you get that feeling in your heart like, okay, something's coming. And I knew I had to decide. I knew I had to make a decision. You know what? And it can be a long story, but I'm going to make it a bit short. Otherwise, we're going to stay here very long. I don't know how long I have, Jankor. But basically, he came to me that afternoon, and I remember we had about just lunchtime, that hour, because 2 o'clock we should have go together to class. And then we started talking, Kobus started sharing, and basically what happened, you know, I gave my life. He challenged me that, as the other gentleman also said, that, you know, there must come a place in your life that you must give your life to Jesus, that you must say, up to now, yeah, God, now I need a Savior. I'm a lost person needing a Savior. And basically, we walked out there, I think, 3:30 that afternoon. And he basically shared the whole gospel with me. And I became born again, spirit-filled, everything. 3 days later, I was baptized. And it was awesome. My life just changed completely. And that is why I could say today, I know that my life has changed, and it's a wonderful thing. It was really wonderful. You know, just a few months earlier, you know, God is usually, as we, that old thing we grow up with, where we say, God is knocking on the door. And I remember one of my other friends, his name was also Kobus, he invited me to church. And I said, no, it's fine, you know, I have a church. And, you know, God was through various times, he was knocking, and there was a situation at school, I remember, that I could have given my life to God, but I didn't. I felt I should hold back a bit and maybe still enjoy the things of the world, which I'm sad I did. This is going to be a challenge. Our pulpit is a bit higher, so my eyes aren't that old, but I'm going to try. I like to look back on my notes sometimes. But you know, guys, when I was born into Christ and I started to be part of Shofar and a new family, I remember I had a tall friend from the Free State, Flippy. And, you know, I remember that was a Thursday afternoon that I became saved. And that Friday, I think it was 9 o'clock, late at night, Flippy phoned me and we used to go fly fishing together. And I thought, Flippy is now going to ask me maybe Saturday morning if we don't want to go fly fishing. And we started talking. He said, no, but he just wanted to congratulate me. You know, he heard that I gave my life to the Lord. And he was like excited. And I was like blown away. I never thought someone will. And then he said something that really was big in my heart. He said, but you know what? I prayed a lot for you. And I thought like, whoa, this guy. He said that because we were in class together. And he said he prayed for me all the time. And you know, those prayers are so important. And that's some of the things I want to encourage you guys. You know, I've got a lot of friends still and family members who doesn't know God, who doesn't know the Lord, or some of them doesn't really want to serve Him. But we must keep on praying for those people. Because I remember I was, in a sense, also hard ground. And guys like Flippy, those prayers were precious. That's the prayers that turned me. And for one young guy to phone another one and tell him, listen, well done, you know, you did the right thing. It meant the world to me. It was really such a blessing to me. And as Jankor said, he played a very big role in discipling me. And I can say honestly to you guys here this morning, it wasn't just him, there was other friends. We were 4 friends, Jankor and Wijnand and Paul. Today, 3 of us are in full-time ministry, and the fourth one is Wijnand. I think it's a matter of time. Basically, you know, if I wasn't discipled by people, you know, by pastors and guys, I wouldn't have stand here this morning. You know, I just would have been maybe a normal guy that goes to church and stuff. But one of the reasons I really feel that I'm standing here as a pastor today is because I said yes to God. You know, that first few years, I grew a lot. And then there was a stage at 3-4 years that I became a bit slack. You know, I you know, get focused on other things or two, and I got distracted a bit. But you know, there was always guys that could ask me genuine questions, ask me serious questions about what it, I have to share this. You know, I walked into Jankor's office sometimes and he said, but what is God speaking to you about? And I said, oh, shucks, I don't know. You know, and then he knew, okay, well, my prayer life or my prayer time wasn't at a good place. And you know, we should know each other that well. The person who's discipling the younger one, you should really look after those guys, because young people, I've got two boys that are 18 months old now. We have to look after them all the time. And we have to look after young spiritual persons the same way. You must always check, are they okay? Give them a phone call, SMS. It's so important. Okay, so let's go on. I'm not going to go through all the notes. Some of them are scriptures, so it's going to be a bit faster than that. You know, and after I became saved, there was a lot of things that I started to recognize. You know, first thing I recognized is that I couldn't pray. You know, I got saved at the end of the year, that's October, and I wanted to go to the first year's camp in 2003. And then I went to the intercession, and I listened to other people pray. I didn't pray that way. You know, and I listened to the blood of Jesus and this and that, and I thought like, wow, these guys are, it's totally different. But because it was because I was still a young Christian, and those people were mature people. They knew what they were praying for. So I want to encourage you to take part in things of the church. If there's intercession, you don't have to pray that much. No one will force you, but go and listen what the people who knows what it's about, what they say. Another thing, and thank you for that gentleman who shared on the worship this morning. I remember I was one of those guys that worshipped like this, you know, and I looked at the girls dancing in the front, and I stood like this, and that's not worship, you know. I stood there, but in time I learned what it was to lift your hands, you know, to become free, because for me it was too difficult to do this, because the church background where I came from, no one did that. Another thing, and that's the religious spirit, another thing I told you, I tucked in my shirt since I was a young guy, and you know, I used to went to, nothing wrong doing that, I'm also doing it right now, but just for you gentlemen who's doing that, also nothing wrong if it's not tucked in, but I went, you know, Stellenbosch can get quite hot in the summer, and a lot of the students, especially evening, they go with short pants to the service, but yeah, for me it was too difficult. I had this thing, if you go to church, it's a suit and tie thing, you know, and I had to get free of those things, because I think Jesus didn't go to his robe and first put on different clothes before he ministered. And I'm just sharing a few things with you from my own life that in which I believe I've grown. And another thing I want to encourage you on, and another testimony of mine, is I started off by giving, say, 25% of my tenth. You know, I couldn't tithe. It was just too difficult for me, because, you know, I want to hold things back. But obviously, as we let go, as we give, that's why Scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I started off by, yeah, it was too difficult. So I started off by giving, say, 25%, and then a half of the 10. And at least, you know, now today, I love it to give. As Jankor also shared, it's a good thing. It's a blessed thing. So I just want to encourage you, maybe some of you that comes from the same background than me. For me, it was a tough thing. Okay, the name of my sermon, maybe I must just say that, is, what does your report say? So I'm going to walk through a few things. And I want to ask a question at the end of this morning. You know, I started off, as I said, 7 years ago. Exactly, it's now 7 years and one day ago. I gave my life to the Lord, and that was a great thing. That's the best decision I've made in my whole life. I think the second best one was to marry my wife, because she's a blessing to me, a big blessing. I don't think I could have done without her. But that's not where it ends. That's where it started. That's when I was born again. I became a new person, you know. And now your whole walk with God starts. And now we must carry on. Now we must start to grow. Now we must really become and bigger Christians, or not bigger Christians, more mature Christians. And now I want to share a few things. I never ever thought that I would become a pastor. I want to share two stories. The one was, I remember I was still a small boy, and the church where I grew up in, it had this brick wall. And I used, like most 10-year-old boys, sitting there counting the bricks. And, you know, when the dominie used to pray, I thought like, yo, I never ever want to be a pastor or a dominie or something like that, because it's so much pressure to pray in front of people. How does he know what to pray for? I thought I'll never ever want to do something like that. Now, yeah, here I stand today. And it's awesome to pray in front of people. And the other one was, I was really scared of speaking in front of people. I had this big fear of man thing, you know. And I remember I was in standard 2 or grade 5, 4, what is 4. I was in grade 4, and I had to do an English oral. Now I'm slightly bilingual, but that stage I couldn't speak the English. It was really difficult. And we had to do this oral about some implement or something from the kitchen. And I used the garlic press. Yes, and me and my mom, we went through that thing. And I had the garlic press. That's what I'm going to talk about. That. And I was standing there before Juffrou Ackermann. Yes, and I was just butterflies and knees shaking and everything. And I remember you had to explain what this thing is used for. And you know, garlic press, it's got two arms or legs and you push it together and then it's got this little siffy thing. And I remember I had to take it out and I was shaking that much, I couldn't get it back in. So that afraid I was of speaking in front of people. But as we look at guys like Paul and Peter, you know, they didn't take years and years to start ministering after they became saved or born again. They started immediately. So I want to encourage you guys, no matter how scared you are, how weak you are, you might think you are, God will take you the way you are. And, you know, He doesn't take the best guys. He equips us on the way. So this morning, there's a big discipleship undertone in my sermon. I want to encourage you, don't think you're not good enough or equipped enough or fluent enough or tall enough or whatever it might be to be used by God. Just as that picture we saw that morning in intercession. No matter what your brick looks like, God wants to use you for something much more bigger than you could sometimes anticipate. Okay, that was the garlic press story. That was just the beginning. Now, after I became born again, you know, and I knew what happened in my life, then we must go back to our testimonies a lot of times. We must go back and think what it was like when we didn't serve God, what it was like when we were lost, you know, and our hearts must break with Jesus Christ for what is breaking His heart, and that's the lost. There's a lot of things in Scripture we can talk about, but Jesus' heart is for the lost. It's for guys like me, for guys like you were way back in your life. It's for the Swakopmund, it's for Windhoek, for Namibia, for all the people. That is what must be on our hearts, to see that other people come into the fullness and the family that we are in. You know, one of the things which was awesome to me is when I started going to Shofar, and there's a lot of awesome other churches who does the same, is that when I started visiting a small group, I actually felt that guys are like loving me, you know. That same flippy guy, now he played rugby for Wilgenhof, he's a big guy. And I remember the first time he came and he wanted to give me a hug, I was like, you know, guys don't hug each other, you know. But today, it's a good thing, you know. There's nothing wrong with giving a brother or a sister a hug. And I started to feel that warmth, that family feeling, you know. That's why I say, you should get in your cars, we should drive to Karabib or some place, and we should have a huge family feast, in a sense, praise and worship together, because we are family, you know, and we're doing the same thing. Our hearts are supposed to be the same. Earlier in this year, I read a book, and I like reading it. It's Driven by Eternity by Johnny Bevere, and that book really made an impact on my life, because every day that I was reading a few pages, I just thought about more and more about the lost. And sometimes we take it for granted, you know, we go on with the things of the church and our lives and our stuff, but the lost, if it's so important. Me and Jankor spoke about it last night. To be lost is a bad thing. It means lost, you're lost. You know, we talk about, and we should really have hearts. Sometimes, you know, I'm going to share it this, when we walked out, it was dark from Jankor's house. We get into a car, I saw there was two ladies standing. And it took me 2 seconds to recognize they were prostitutes. And your first thought is like, ooh, you know, bad thing. But those people need God or Jesus the most, because they are lost. You know, so many times we think, but yeah, those people, they are messed up or something. But that's, Jesus came for them. They didn't come for the, let's say, the good guys like us who have a relationship. He came for the lost. And that is what must be on our hearts. That's what's breaking God's heart, and that must be what we are praying for, interceding for. You know, that must be what we live for, in a sense. We really need a... can you ask afterwards, please? Thanks. We really must focus on that. You know, I think after reading that book from John Bevere, I thought that if all of us can go to hell just for 10 seconds, and we could see what it looks like, you know, our hearts would be racing, because there's going to be a time that harvest time is going to be finished. You know, then it's too late. And if we can really, there's a lot of scriptures, I'm going to read one or two to you this morning, regarding eternal life and judgment and hell. And I don't want to see my brother or sister or someone I work with going that route one day. You know, so we should really be bold about this. We should talk about this. I want to read to you this morning. First scripture is from Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him sitting on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and the place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead in it, and dead and hell delivered up the dead in them. And each one of them was judged according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. If anyone was not found having been written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. You know, and that's not stuff we like to minister on. It's not stuff that we like to say to each other. But that is what scriptures say. And I'm one of those guys that whatever stands in scripture, I believe. I take it for a fact. I don't argue about it or debate about it or stuff. That is what God says to it. It's his word. I also want to read you from Romans 14, verse 12. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. We're not going to give account of your children or your family or stuff. We're going to give account from ourselves. We have to go and stand one day before God and say, this is why I did this or that, you know. And it's going to be, it's something, if we've got that heart of Jesus Christ, it's something. I don't want to stand there and say, yeah, but God, you know, I was too busy, or I had too much work, or I couldn't speak English properly, or this or that or that. We should all have that heart for the lost. We should really, as a church, we must have this revelation of how bad it is to be lost. Okay. And then, yes, we should really pray for our friends and family. Okay, the Friday into morning intercession I already spoke about. I spoke about, you know, and just again to encourage you, sometimes we just feel that we're not up to it. We really, it's too difficult or things are too much for us. But really, guys, I want to encourage you. Don't believe that lie. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, one of the small group facilitators in church, there was an altar call and a lot of people came forward for ministry. And I see he didn't come forward to pray because I asked all the facilitators to come and pray. And he afterwards, I spoke to him and I said, but why didn't you come to pray for the people? And he said, yeah, but he worked the whole weekend. He was in a financial position and he worked the whole weekend and he didn't spend time with God. And, you know, he didn't feel right to pray. And I said to him, no, brother, that's a lie from the devil. Now you're at the best place to pray, maybe, because you don't feel strong in your own flesh. You probably would have asked God and say, God, I don't know what to pray for or feel. But if you just trusted completely on God, then things will be okay. You say, and I said to him, don't ever believe that lie again. It's really something that the devil, he wants to, you know, the opposite of mobilize people. He wants to do the opposite. He wants us to go and sit somewhere isolated and think that you maybe the pastors or the guys in full-time ministry or the elders in church, they must do the work. Okay. I want to read to you also from John 4, verse 34 to 38. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. And he who reaps receive wages for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. And you know, so many times we think that, yeah, okay, just if the boys are a bit older, or just if my finances are a bit more in place, then I'll start to be a bit more committed or do more of these things. But Jesus said the harvest is ready now. For the past 2 months, we have heard so many words in our intercession in Windhoek about the harvest. People really felt that it's time for the harvest now. Now, if you go, for you, maybe comes from a farm background or related to a family on a farm, Harvest time, if you think about maize or corn or something, that's a busy time. That's time that everyone has to be part of things. When it's harvest time, we work hard, you know. And when the harvest time is finished, then it's finished. You know, there's a certain time, whether it's apples or something on a tree, if you don't harvest them before a certain time, then that time goes by, you know, and then the fruit start to rot. And there's going to be a day that Jesus is going to come back, and then harvest time is finished, as the way I understand it. You see, and I was sitting, during the past week, I was sitting in my office, and it was really, probably like this office, quite peaceful and quiet. And I was sitting there, and just, it was about 9 o'clock in the morning, and then just this thought just entered my heart, and I thought like, what if Jesus comes back right now? And my first thought like, oh, I'm not going to be together with my wife and kids when we go, you know? And then I started, you know, just to think about a bit on this topic, and I thought like, oh, there's so many people that I know who haven't heard the good news, or maybe heard it, but haven't responded to it. And that's something, you know, it's bugging me. It's bugging me. It's really something, because Jesus said the harvest is ready. We should be the harvest. We should pray for the laborers. And it's another thing, we shouldn't think or pray about, must I minister to someone or something. You can do it. Jesus already said in Matthew 28:19, go and make the disciples, you know, teach them the things I've taught them. It's so nice. In Windhoek the other day, I drove past the ladies here, the red Yaris, Toyota Yaris, and the number plate said MAT 2819, and I know, okay, is it? I don't know if it's one of you maybe, but the car said, obviously, that was the discipleship scripture where Jesus told the disciples, go and make disciples. Okay, and then I want to read to you also from Matthew 24, verse 36 to 34. And I think it's important that we just remind ourselves of these scriptures again. Matthew 24, verse 36 to 44. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in these days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did no one know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other will be left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And it's so important. As I was sitting there, you know, it would have been awful to me sitting there and, for instance, knowing that my wife didn't know the Lord or something. You know, they say two men is going to work in the fields. One is going to stay, one is going to go. And I think by this time, you're really getting the message, what is on my heart, what I'm trying to tell you, that we must be part of this. You know, a while ago, I read a book, and being in full-time ministry, you know, we should set a high standard for the things we do. Our church must be neat. The scriptures on the board must be good. Everything must be done. But we're not professionals, you know. I can't love someone professional. I can't pray for someone professionally. I can't have professional childlikeness or tenderheartedness or anything that we should have, you know. I must do it because out of my relationship with God and the love that I have for Him. You know, when someone comes to me and, you know, with a problem, I don't give him professional advice or, you know, something like that. I pray with him the way the Spirit leads us. And, you know, and I'm not knocking professional people, doctors or lawyers or guys. I'm not talking about that. It's our relationship with God. And then we can also ask ourselves, the work that we're doing, the way that our small groups are praying, guys that come to the worship team, you know, I always used to admire it. Our worship team practice on a Saturday afternoon, and there's a few guys who really love sport, and they sacrifice it. For them, they count the cost, and for them, it's okay to say, listen, this is my time, I'm giving it, I'm sowing it, it's part of my ministry, you know, and it's awesome to see people, you know, really taking ownership. It's wonderful to be part of a church, but guys, I want to encourage you to be planted in a church, to take ownership. For me, it's such a nice thing when some of the guys in our church come and say, but listen, can't we do this or that? You know, and then I don't feel like, you know, Jankur said, I'm quite a pastoral guy. I'm maybe a bit less evangelistic. you know, and he wants to hold something, and then we talk about it and stuff, but, you know, I can see his heart is in, he's planted, he's rooted in the church, he's taking ownership, it's part of his life. He actually, and he's got quite a big job in Windhoek, and he said, you know, that's just his passing, his, you know, just to earn a salary and his daytime things. Church, that is what he's lived for. It's because of his relationship with Christ. So I want to talk a little bit just on sonship. You know, we don't do things because the pastor says so, or your small group facilitator says so. We do it because we're sons in the house, we're daughters in the house, with our relationship with God. And, you know, if your father have a, or maybe, you know, if I use an example, when I was a boy, my dad, I used to mow the lawn. You know, now when my dad pays someone $50 to mow the lawn, then that guy just do it for the money. But when I mow the lawn, that's my, it's my property as well in a sense. You know, I also live in that house. And when the garden looks neat, then I also feel good about our house. It's because I'm a son. You know, if you're part of, you're doing the harvest and you're on a tractor or something, maybe your dad doesn't pay you, but you're busy with your father's work. It's for the kingdom's good. And that is why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's because of my relationship that I have with the Father, because I know that I'm a son. I'm going to read to you just one or two of those scriptures. Let's read from Romans 8, verse 12 to 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, we sang that song, Indescribable, you know, and I don't know who of you have watched Louis Giglio's DVDs, Indescribable, or How Great Is Our God, and you know, just a few weeks ago, our youth watched it, and I just sat there this morning, of that evening, actually, and I was just dumbstruck, you know, looking at creation, how big it is, we can't imagine how big it is, and I remember a lot of times in my life, when there were tough times, you know, I walked into nature, and just looked at the beautiful way that God created it. Just yesterday again to look at the sea, or at nighttime to go and sit and look at the stars, and just to start to almost break your brain how big things are. You know, the galaxies, I mean, this is one galaxy and there's so many other galaxies. It's awesome, you know. And if this wonderful, awesome, loving God, you know, not all of us grew up with fathers who set us an example, but God wants to be our Father. Maybe you feel like that today. You know, God is an awesome Father to us. You know, that's why I said earlier, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And to know that Father in Scripture is calling us His children, that's awesome. Who of you agree with me? I mean, a few guys. I'll preach more. Okay. But it's really for us to be His sons. It's wonderful. It's really something that's very special. You know, also in John 10, verse 13, which I want to read to you, scriptures, let's read it from my Bible. I bought this Bible just a few weeks after I got saved, and it's very precious to me. I always remember then, if I had to look for a scripture, I thought, if you stand in front of people, it must be really precious, because what if you can't find it? But fortunately, I got over that as well. And I know where John is. John 10, verse 13. Let's get that. John is one of my favorite Gospels. John 14, verse 10. No, that's wrong. John 10, verse 13. Okay, and it says, okay, you know that scripture very well. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have to come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not a shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flee because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. And that is such a wonderful part for me, you know, where Scripture speaks about the hireling versus the shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. You know, you will leave the 99 and walk after that one that is really lost or really that he needs to tend to. And the hireling, he just scatters, you know. He's the job guy that maybe just earns the $50 a day, and then when things get hot, he just flees. He runs away. And we mustn't be like that. We must, if we are in ministry, we're in church, we're part of things, then we really should have the attitude of sons, you know, not of the hireling. We must be like the shepherds. If you see someone in the church, in your small group, suffering or something, pray for that person. Maybe you must just take food for him. Maybe you must just bless him in a way, you know, pray about it. God will show you, you know. But to have that attitude of really loving, discipling someone because you really love that person. You know, that guy sitting there at the back, he did a lot of things which I really appreciate. He took me with, went to church things. He invited me with. I know he loved me. He prayed for me a lot. He discipled me. He rebuked me a lot of times. But that was a good thing. You know, I needed that. And that's the same way that we raise our children, you know. You can love them, hug them, pick them up. But there's certain times that we should really rebuke them. And it's an important thing. If we really love the people we disciple, then some, and we're in a good relationship, at stages we should tell someone, but listen, I don't think you should do this. It's bad for you. It's bad for your spirit. It's not a good thing to do. Now, I want to get to the conclusion this morning to what I really feel that was God laid on my heart this morning, or for this morning, and that is, what does our report say, you know? And this is not something to frighten you with, to be intimidating or something, but it's something that God spoke to me about, and he, what would stand on my report, you know? There would stand, yes, there's a tick, I did all the foundations, salvation, baptism, I went on missions, I learned to fast because, yo, that was a difficult thing for me as well. And I've gone through those things, but that's good. But we mustn't get religious about that. There's so much more to do. And I feel that God is going to ask us one day, so what? And we should ask ourselves, we should go and sit still, look in the mirror, and I want to ask you this morning, what does your report say? I'm not going to ask you a question, if you don't have to answer it, it's something for yourselves. What does your report say? Are you busy with the things of your father? Do you feel like a son? What does your report say? It's something God spoke to me about, and it's not a good thing. It's a good thing to see 5 or 10 people come to salvation, or maybe to disciple a few people. But really, there's masses out there. When Jankor ministered recently in Windhoek, I also discovered that he talked about the 300,000. Now, that's the amount of people. Now, I don't know how many of them knows God as their Father and Savior. But I do know that if I just read the newspapers and I look at crime and all the brokenness and the bad things that happen, that we must be the salt. We must be the light, guys. We should really make an impact. As a church, we should be relevant. You know, when people in society need love, advice, or help, they should come to us. Because we should moet dit uitstraal. They should see it. They should know it. They should know what our fruits are. We're not just judging them or something. You know, that's something God had to deal in my heart with, because after I became saved, you know, I started looking differently at people who doesn't know the Lord. And that's a bad thing to do. You know, as I said about those two prostitutes, my first thought was like, ooh, you know. But those two people, they need God maybe more than anyone else, you know. And you know what? I've actually experienced a few times that those people are more open to God than a lot of people who just sit in a comfort zone, because they're really desperate. That's why they're doing what I'm doing. It's not because they like what they're doing. I can promise you that. It's because they're desperate. We should really ask ourselves about the son and the hireling thing. And I want to encourage you guys to grow in that sonship, to grow and to talk to God about that. I want to encourage you this morning as I'm finishing now. You know, it doesn't matter what your brick look like. You know, if it's skew here or this or that, God will use you. He wants to use you. I want to encourage you in that. And that's a wonderful thing. Can I ask you all to stand this morning, please, with me? Father God, we want to thank you, Lord God, for the Father that you are to us, for the God that you are to us, Father. Lord God, thank you that we can be sons, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you are the creator of this universe, Father God. Lord, you say in Isaiah, Lord, that you can measure the universe by the span of your hand, Lord God. But Lord, thank you that you are a wonderful God, that you are a loving God, Lord, that you love us so much, Lord God, that you sacrifice your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, Father God, that we shouldn't go lost, Lord, but that we could be reconciled to you, Lord God, that we can come into relationship with you, Lord, that we doesn't have to speak to you through the pastor or through the priest or the prophet or someone, Father, but that each and every one of us can have a relationship with you, Lord, that we can hear your voice, Lord. You say in Scripture, Lord, that my sheep can hear my voice, Lord, that we aren't left alone here and struggling, Lord God, and not knowing what to do, Lord God. Thank you that as we intercede as churches, Lord God, that you show us the way, Lord, that you give us direction, Lord God. Thank you that you take us by the hand, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us, Father God. And Lord, we're never going to be perfect, Father God, but we want to say yes to you. We want to say yes to the way you see us. Lord, sometimes we look at ourselves and we think we see all the bad things, Lord God, but there's so many good things you have made us, Lord. You love us so much. We are the work of your hands, Lord. And Lord, this morning we also want to invite you, Lord God, to be like the potter and the clay, Lord, that you'll come and shape us, Lord God. But Lord, from our deepest hearts, that we will say yes, Father God. And Lord, but that we'll count that cost, Lord. We know that there's a price, Lord God. And Father, that we should invite you into our lives, Lord God, that we would be filled with the Spirit daily, Lord God, that we will have hearts that say, Lord, I can and want to do nothing without you, Lord. We need you in everything we do, Father God, and that we will just exalt your name, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And guys, as all eyes are closed, as we are standing here this morning, I want to ask you, if there's anyone here this morning, if you know, you would already know in your heart, God would have been speaking to you. If you know that you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, if you know that there have never been a place in your life that you became a new person, that you became born again, if there's anyone here this morning, while all eyes are closed, it's something just between you and God, can I ask you to raise your right hand, please? If there's anyone here this morning who feel that I want to walk in relationship with Christ, I want to ask you to raise your hand. Thank you. Then there's another thing I want to ask to another group of people. If you really have on your heart to do the work of the ministry, Jesus, if you want to yoke with Jesus, but you feel in your heart, maybe for this or that reason, I can't do it, or maybe what shall my family think of me? What shall my employees or the people I work for with, what will they think? If you have that fear of man in your heart, if there's anyone here this morning that feel you want to say yes to God, but something is just always holding you back, if there's anyone here this morning, I also want to ask you to raise your hand. We would like to pray for you afterwards. If there's anyone like that, thank you, guys. Thank you for that hand. And then just in your own hearts, lastly, I want you guys to speak to God, to speak to your Father regarding the sermon about what does your report say this morning. Just in your own words, I'm just going to give a minute. Just speak to God and say to God whatever is on your heart. Just speak to Him this morning. Lord, I want to come to you this morning, Father God, and I want to thank you for this precious people, Father God. These people standing in front of me that you love so much, Father God. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord God, that you'll protect every family represented here, Lord God. Lord, that you'll really, every strong man, every person represented here, Lord God, that you'll bless, Lord God, that you'll protect, Father God. And Lord, that you'll provide for us. Thank you, Lord, that we know your character, Lord God, that you, as Jankor shared in the offering, Lord God, that you always provide for us, Lord God, that we will trust you in that, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that when all of us wake up in the morning, Father God, that the first thing that comes to our hearts, Lord, will be our Father, Lord God, that we will speak to you, that we will share our hearts with you, Lord God, and Father, that we will pray to you, Lord God, that we will intercede for people that we know, Lord God, who doesn't have a relationship with you, Lord God, and Father, that we will really have that heart, Lord God, and I pray, Lord, that your hand will be with us, Lord God, and thank you that we know, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, that your still small voice comes to us and ministers to us, Father God, and Father God, that we will have an outward focus, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you'll bless every family here this morning, Lord God, and that your hand will be with us, Lord, that you'll bless Shofar Swakopmund, Lord God, and everyone here this morning, Lord, that the society will know what they stand for, Lord God, that they will know what is on their badges, Lord God, that they know that this is people that is following the true Christ, Lord God, as there's people who have a love for God, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you'll anoint this church, Lord. I pray for Pastor Theo, Lord God, that your hand will be with him, Lord, that you'll give him wisdom, and the elders of the church, Lord, and all the small group facilitators, all the people in ministry, Lord God, that you'll really provide and that you'll guide everyone, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name this morning, Lord. Amen. Those people who put up their hands, I'm going to ask you, as the other people are going to slowly leave now, I'm going to ask you to just come to my right. And if there's anyone else here this morning, if you want to pray about anything, or there's anything on your heart you want to share with the lady with the question, please, you can come to the front as well. Please come. There will be facilitators. We would like to pray with you. So guys, until next time, you can think in the meantime, you can think about that braai we're going to have at Karabib. Start making a few plans. I know that the guys in Swakopmund, in Windhoek, they would like to meet you. So enjoy the rest of your day and be blessed. Amen.